The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
I invite our Bishop David to come and share God's word with us.
Good morning, everyone. It's my privilege to be here on behalf of your wider church family, the Lutheran Church around South Australia and the Northern Territory, as you celebrate before God 50 years of his kindness, his grace to you in Jesus Christ. Celebrate the past, ignite the future is the theme that you've given me, together with the text which Rolly just read from John chapter 10. 50 years ago, last Sunday, 10,000 people gathered on the Tanunda Oval, and it wasn't for a footy match, it was for a church service. A church service led by 200 black-robed pastors. It was a service to acknowledge and celebrate the beginnings of what we now know as the Lutheran Church of Australia. They thanked God for bringing two churches together to give a united and common witness to Christ in Australia and in New Zealand. Here we are today. Three pastors with no black robes in sight. Okay. The bishop won't comment on that. And a sea of people. The church has changed, hasn't it? And as I look at you, I thank God for you. I thank God for the faith he has created in your heart. I thank God for the life that you live out together in this congregation, whether you've been here for a couple of weeks or whether you've been here for the best part of those 50 years. I thank God for your place and your part in the life of the body of Christ here at Para Vista. Must have been a wonderful time back in the 60s. In the 60s, wherever we built a church, they came. As Adelaide grew, the church grew. And this church started with 22 people, most of them from Tea Tree Gully. They came here and look what it is today. The church just grew. It was almost all by itself. We know who grows the church. It's God, it's his spirit. But it seemed a lot easier back then. It's a lot harder today. We're in a different space in church land, and not just the Lutheran Church, but every denomination in the Christian Church. We don't hold the same place we once did in society around us. Some today would say we have no place in the world around us. It wasn't hard to find pastors back then. I installed a pastor in Kadena on Friday night, but I've got 12 others queuing up looking for a shepherd. 9 out of our 90 parishes in South Australia can't afford a full-time pastor. You don't realise how blessed you were to get one so quickly, and he's on his way here in January. I closed two congregations this year in the church. I'm closing another one in November, at the end of November. I was down at Seaford last Monday night with the heads of three different denominations. 5 of us occupy the same building, the Seaford Ecumenical Centre, and we had the very sad and difficult task of telling them that that will have to be closed as a building because none of us can sustain it between all 5 of us. We're in a different space in church land today. Don't quite know where that is going to take us. Different times, but the same God, the same Lord of the church. And in the Gospel today from John 10, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd to you today, the one that this very church is named after." He says, "I'm your Good Shepherd." And I hope that and pray that as you look back over the last 50 years, you can say that. He has been our Good Shepherd. He's been there for us in good times and in challenging ones. And I know you've had your season of those too. The growth here hasn't been exponential and unlimited. There have been times of decline, there have been times of challenge, difficult times to work through. But the Good Shepherd has led you through them. He's been here Sunday after Sunday to set his table before you, a table of pure forgiveness and grace to cover every sin, even your worst ones. He's forgiven you. He's fed you, he's led you, he's comforted you, he's guided you, he's challenged you, he's grown you. Everything a Good Shepherd does, your God has done for you personally and collectively as the body of Christ in this place. I hope that you can say, like the end of Psalm 23 does, "Surely goodness and mercy have followed us every day of our life together in this house of God at Good Shepherd Para Vista. I wonder if you can just spend a moment thinking and sharing with the person next to you one thing that you would like to thank the Good Shepherd for about your life here at Para Vista. One thing about this congregation, even if you're not a member here, but as you look on today, what would you want to thank God for about this church? Please share with the person next to you for about 1 minute. But I hope you can say, in the words of Psalm 100, as Pastor Rolly read it to you a moment ago, the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. The love of the Good Shepherd that you've known for 50 years. Celebrating the past, it's good and right that we do that today. The other part of your theme is igniting the future. To be honest, I got stuck when I got to that part of my sermon. Igniting the future. I got nervous when I lit my barbecue for the first time this summer last Saturday. I always do. And now I'm asked to ignite the future of Para Vista Lutheran Church. If you know anything about the role of a bishop, it's more about putting fire out than starting it. And I was kind of hoping that your two pastors weren't expecting me to share my vision of the future of your church and fire you up about that. We all have our vision for what we think the church should be in its life in the future. I have mine, you have yours. Which is it to be? And which is God's anyway? Sometimes we become disillusioned when our vision of what the church should be isn't materialised. We take our marbles and go home. Or we go to another church. And our churches get smaller and smaller till there's only me left. And sometimes I disagree even with myself. There are days when my ideal church doesn't even include me and people like me. There are other days when my ideal church is built all around me. And all for me. I think you're getting the picture. The church isn't about me. It's about him. And it's about us because of him. So I'm not here today to sell you the bishop's ideal church for the future. Pastor Rowley and Noel gave me this gospel reading from John chapter 10. So I've got this talk about ignition in one hand and I've got a text about a good shepherd in the other. You sense my problem when I sat down to preach. As I reflected on John chapter 10, those verses about the Good Shepherd, and I hope you'll pick this up this morning as I share three things with you. Three things that any church that calls itself a church of the Good Shepherd will always look like and always endeavour with God's help to be like. Number one, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church will always know its sheep and make sure that they know their shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And a few verses earlier, Jesus says, the sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name. I don't know what it's like in here, but out there it's a very impersonal world. I stood at a counter not long ago. A man asked me for my number and I gave it to him and he said, I'm very sorry, sir, but you're not appearing on my screen and I can't process you. And I felt like saying to him, I don't want to appear on your screen, I'm standing right in front of you and I don't want to be processed, I just need to be served. I don't often stand at a meat counter, but when I do, I often stand there for quite some time and no one will talk to me. I forgot to take the number. Number six, that's me. Today, in many areas of life, we are just a number. We're a password, we're a code. We don't get access, we don't get processed, we don't get recognised without it. Jesus says to me, you're more than a number, more than a statistic in a congregation. You are a person with a name that I deeply care about. And for the baptized children of God, it's his own name that was spoken over us when we were washed in the waters of baptism. God sees us as a living, breathing extension of his own life. Jesus says in these verses that he wants to share with us the life of the Father that he knows. The church is all about relationships, not numbers. People in relationship to God, people in relationship with each other. The God who brings us into relationship with himself as the Father through Jesus his Son, the Good Shepherd. Jesus, as Good Shepherd, knows us intimately. And the amazing thing is that even though he knows us better than we know ourselves, he still loves us. And he forgives us. And he says we still belong. Even though we are intimately known to the extent of our worst sin and our worst thought, we aren't rejected. We're still embraced by the Good Shepherd and forgiven by him. A church that goes by the name of Good Shepherd will always reflect that. They will want to know their sheep. And they won't just put it all on the pastors to know the sheep. No one can know every one of you here intimately and deeply and personally, let alone two pastors. Only God can do that. But you will make sure that your life here together as the flock under the Good Shepherd will ensure that everybody knows that they are known by God and loved by God despite what he knows about them. That's grace. That's forgiveness. And the more you know about each other, the more you're going to be disillusioned with each other. That's how it works with human beings. The more we know about each other, the harder it is to live with each other. Ask the average husband and wife. That's why we need so much forgiveness in our homes and families. The closer we get, the more we know, and the harder it is to live with each other. The challenge for any church, and particularly a church that calls itself the Good Shepherd, will be to make sure we reflect the knowledge of God about us. It doesn't walk away from us. It comes to us quickly with forgiveness, grace, mercy, and love. Jesus says the hired hand who doesn't really care about the sheep runs away when things get tough. When the enemy appears, when things become prickly, he doesn't want to know. A church of the Good Shepherd comes quickly with grace and forgiveness to cover sin and to restore people back to God and to each other. And together you will listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. You'll want to get to know him better. And you'll provide every opportunity you can, and you've got a wonderful opportunity with the school on your doorstep, to give opportunity for the little lambs of God to know the Good Shepherd better, here in this place called Good Shepherd, to know the one who knows them and still loves them, despite what they've done and what they will do. Your incoming pastor, Pastor Reed Matthias, I looked up his self-assessment yesterday to see what he might have had to say about the future and might relate to the future of this place. In his self-assessment, he says, wherever the congregation, and he's talking about any congregation here, goes, we recognise in the midst of moving there will be stumbling, but the recognition of God's voice leading us is important. The recognition of God's voice leading us is important. I don't know where God is going to take you in the future, and it would be presumptuous of me, as your bishop, to prescribe what it will look like here in another 50 years. What I do know of a church of the Good Shepherd is that we'll always listen together to the voice of the Good Shepherd, in prayer together, for the Holy Spirit together, and trust that the voice of the Good Shepherd will take them where he wants them to go, and it will be okay. Secondly, a church of the Good Shepherd will live for others, not for itself. Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. How many of you came to faith here at Good Shepherd Para Vista? Put your hand up if you came to faith here in this place. Okay? Note those people. And every time you see those people, let it remind you that this place exists not for itself, but for people like them. People whom God already knows out there. People you don't know yet, but he does. And he already sees them as part of his flock. Sheep that he knows and cares about. They might not know it yet, and you haven't yet met them. But you are here for them. And to be led by the Good Shepherd to them so that you can lead them back to him. The church that is all about itself has no future. I want you to remember that as you leave today. A church that is all about itself has no future. To the observer, this place has a lot going on. There are a lot of people here. There are wonderful facilities. There are many programs. The danger for you is to think that we've got it all together. There's not much more that we need to do. And it becomes all about us. All the energy and all the thinking and all the wishes of what the church could look like are all around us. A church of the Good Shepherd is a church that will live for others, not for itself. The greatest threat to the church today all over the place is not lack of money, it's not an ageing membership, and it's not the hostile world around us. It's the day we lose confidence in the gospel of God and his love for us in Jesus to change the lives of people forever. And we stop sharing it with others. That is the greatest danger the church faces today. The Church of the Good Shepherd won't let that happen. It's part of its DNA to look outside of itself with the heart of the Good Shepherd to those that he already sees as belonging. Thirdly, the Church of the Good Shepherd will be willing to lay down its life. I want you to read with me five things that Jesus says in today's gospel about just that. The Good Shepherd
lays down his life for the sheep.
Five times Jesus talks about laying down his life for his sheep. That's who he is, as the Good Shepherd. It's what we celebrate every time you come to churches like this, to be served by the one who lays his life down in front of you and for you. The one who places himself on the table in Holy Communion for you to take, and to dare to believe that that's him, his body and his blood coming into you, the same body and blood that died for you on the cross and was raised to life for you. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep willingly. And he does that for you every time you come together in his presence. A church that reflects the heart of the Good Shepherd will be willing to do that themselves. If you're truly going to follow him into the future, it's going to cost you in all sorts of ways. Are you prepared for that cost? A personal cost. Of energy, of time, and yes, even of money, for the sake of the other sheep who are yet to be here. The Church of the Good Shepherd will have the heart of the Good Shepherd, which will be willing to pay the price, to bear the cost, for the sake of somebody coming here to enjoy and know what you have known and enjoyed here in the presence of the Good Shepherd for 50 years. I thank God today for every sacrifice of love and life that has been offered by people such as yourselves and the pastors who've gone before these two pastors to ensure that people like you could be here and enjoy the love of God for you in our Good Shepherd together. If you are true to name, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, whatever the future looks like for you and whatever the future is to be for you, You will always be people who will be about shepherding people closer to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, so that he can shepherd them into the presence of God the Father in heaven. You'll do that in all sorts of ways, with who you are, with the gifts God has given you, and with the resources that you have inherited. Not long ago, I sat in a taxi. The driver was a Liberian Muslim. Didn't go to the mosque, but he said he prayed. He worked out after a while who I was and where I was going, and he said one thing to me. He said, "Why do you think religion is important or should be important to Australians today?" An unusual question. I asked him why he asked it, and he said, "Because my observation is that Australians don't care about religion. So why do you think it's important? You're a bishop." I wonder how you would have answered that question. I said, "Well, maybe the best way I can answer it is to tell you why Jesus is important to me, rather than why religion is important to me." And I told him what it means to live with a clear conscience before God, because Jesus forgives the worst things I've ever thought, said and done, and they won't stop me entering his heaven. In fact, Jesus opens that door for me by what he did on the cross. Told him what it means to live in that peace and freedom, what it means to live with the hope of heaven, which is guaranteed because of what Jesus has done. We talked about Jesus for a while. Don't know if he became a Christian that night on our long journey through Perth, but he gave me a discount at the end. So he must have kind of liked something that I had to say, and I hope it stayed with him. I didn't have time, and I don't live in Perth, to clinch the deal, and it's not for me to do that anyway. Maybe God will put in his path another shepherd somewhere in Perth to carry on the conversation and to nudge him that little bit closer to Jesus, so that he can enjoy what people like me and people like you enjoy in our life with the Good Shepherd. A few weeks ago I was on my morning walk, usually with my wife. This time I was without. We always walk the same route, we always meet the same people, and an elderly man meets us and greets us almost every morning. And he saw that I was on my own the other day, and he said, "David, I have to talk to you." And he looked very serious. And I said, "What's wrong?" And he asked me one question. He said, "Were Adam and Eve real people?" This is 6:30 in the morning, mind you. I thought, "Did I hear right? Can you ask me that again?" He said, "Were Adam and Eve real people?" He was troubled. I talked to him a bit about creation and my view of the early chapters of the Bible, and he went on his way, but I don't think he was really impressed. The next morning I stumbled across him again and said, "David," he bounded up to me and he said, "I've got to talk to you again." I thought, "Oh no, not another one of these questions." He said, "Remember the question I asked you yesterday?" And he said, "It's okay, it's okay." He said, "I'm going to stick with Jesus." He said, "I was troubled with creation because my sons and daughters and neighbours have been questioning me about my faith and about creation and how the world began, and I became troubled about their questions and couldn't answer them, and my faith was being destabilised." He said, "But I realised when I became a Christian it was because somebody bothered to tell me about Jesus. They didn't start with how the world began and proved it. They started with Jesus and told me how God loved me. And I came into the church as an adult through my wife when somebody told me about him. So I reckon I'm going to stay with him." That's what I, as the bishop, should have said to him the day before. Last Sunday, I was out there in church land, and at lunch, a lady came to me and she said, "I wasn't always a churchgoer." She said, "I became a Christian." She said, "I was a businesswoman, I was a self-made person, I didn't need anybody until my daughter became mentally unstable, and I was totally out of my depth, out of control in my own home. I didn't know how to handle things. I was despairing as a parent. I was in control in my business and in every area of my life, but I could not handle that. My heart went out to my daughter and I couldn't do a thing to rescue her. And my Christian neighbour came to me and said, 'Have you tried praying?' I pray to Jesus and I leave everything to Jesus. She resisted that for a while, but she got to the end of her tether and she said to me that there was a day when she just had no idea how she was going to cope in her own home. She was putting up the facade outside of the home but couldn't do it inside, and she gave her need to Jesus. And she said the most wonderful transformation happened in her life, that she found this peace she didn't have, the strength to deal with the things she couldn't change in her life, and now she spends every opportunity she has shepherding people to Jesus because she knows what he can do in their lives. She's got a friend, she says, next door who has noticed the change in her, and she's encouraging her to come to church to see and meet this Jesus who has changed her life forever. You could be part of any of those stories, and you probably have your own opportunities and stories every day, sharing why you live with the hope you do in your hopeless circumstances, why you forgive when it doesn't seem warranted, and who sustains you in your hard times. And it's all to do with Jesus, your good shepherd. People say to me, don't you lose sleep about the state of the church? I say no, apart from the fact that I'm exhausted at the end of every day. I'm too confident in the gospel. As I move around the church, I'm too optimistic about what the gospel can do. And despite the aging nature of the church and the declining numbers and money, it's not about that. It's about people like us who have a heart for people who aren't here but who are the other sheep Jesus is already seeing. And we're willing to take those moments and opportunities on the path or in the taxi or with the person next door just to simply say and be who we are in God's sheepfold and what the shepherd means to us. You've turned 50. You've turned 50. When you turn 50, you should know something about what life is all about, but you also realise time is running out and you don't have forever. As a mature 50-year-old congregation in the LCA, you know what it's about. It's about the Good Shepherd. It's not about you, and it's about others for the sake of the Good Shepherd. I pray that you'll celebrate your journey today following that Good Shepherd, but I pray that you will always have, and this is the one thing I pray for your future, that you will always have and never lose the heart of the Good Shepherd for the people who need him. God bless you as you nudge them and shepherd them closer to him. Amen.